We're going to go ahead and get started because one of our commissioners needs to leave, and I know some of our witnesses may have patient commitments as well. So let's get started on the next agenda item, which is bone marrow transplantation services. I'll start with Dr. Silver, University of Michigan, please. Well, yes, and we'll defer on Brenda's recommendation until after.
We'll get to the testimony. Thank you very much. I just want to say to the commissioners, thank you for letting me speak today. And you have a more complete copy of my remarks, because these are more abbreviated because of time issues. I'm an assistant dean for research at the University of Michigan. I was head of the bone marrow transplant program in a former life. My colleagues are all in San Diego at the National Bone Marrow Transplant meeting, and so they selected me just as you selected the commissioners who weren't here. The University of Michigan Health System strongly supports the continued regulation of BMT and believes deregulation would be a detriment to the citizens of Michigan. Less than 3 years ago, I had the opportunity to serve on the previous BMT Standard Advisory Committee. My colleagues and I spent 6 months reviewing and revising C of N standards that regulate this service in the state of Michigan. The final BMT SAC report to the C of N Commission reinforced several broad facts, and I believe these really haven't changed, and not much has changed since that meeting. BMT remains expensive. It's an extraordinarily specialized clinical service requiring highly trained professionals, and access to the service is more than adequate in Michigan. As far as cost, duplication of this program at additional facilities within the state will have a profound impact on cost. There is currently a critical national shortage of both qualified BMT physicians and BMT-related support staff. With few BMT training programs in existence, this shortage is expected to worsen significantly, and I've written about this. New transplant programs will only be able to acquire the necessary complement of transplant staff by overcompensating existing staff at outside facilities, and therefore existing BMT programs will be required to increase salaries in order to retain their qualified staff. Of course, there will be significant costs associated with the development of new infrastructure and the hiring of ancillary personnel. And Dr. Punch also had many of the same points that we have in bone marrow transplantation. As far as quality, I will limit my remarks to autologous transplants, and this should not be viewed as a simple procedure. On the contrary, the dose intensification used in autologous transplants is significant, much higher than used in non-transplant regimens, often approaching lethal organ toxicity. Only physicians trained in using such intensive dosing should be involved in the transplant care of these patients. As far as access, a common argument regarding access to BMT services is that the numbers of bone marrow transplants in the state are increasing each year, and thus more centers are required to serve these increasing needs. The major reason for this increase has been the application of BMT to older patients, specifically those in the 60 to 75 years in age. We've now tapped out that market, with the median age of our transplant population at U of M now at nearly 60 years of age, markedly different than 10 years ago. I do not see significant growth in this arena, as the field will not be doing transplants for individuals greater than 75 years of age. There has been a major paradigm shift over the past few years with the advent of targeted therapy. The development of targeted non-transplant therapy for disorders such as relapsed Hodgkin's disease, chronic phase, chronic myelogenous leukemia, or Philadelphia chromosome positive ALL in first remission has negated the need for transplant in many patients. Several recent publications openly question the role for transplant in Philadelphia chromosome positive ALL. Similar targeted therapies are being developed for many conditions, and this may additionally decrease the need for transplant in the coming decades. The current centers in Michigan are collectively meeting the state's bone marrow transplant needs. U of M bed utilization is under capacity, with beds readily available on our transplant unit. Patients are not being turned away due to lack of availability of beds, nor are patients experiencing long lag times to begin transplant. In closing, UMHS would like to reiterate that it strongly supports the continued regulation of this C of N covered clinical service. BMT is primarily a complex, non-emergent therapy that allows for patients and physicians to prospectively choose where to receive treatment, providing access to a program that offers leading technology with senior-level physicians and ancillary staff uniquely trained in this and clinical process is fundamental for the residents of Michigan. Such technology and personnel are currently in place within existing facilities. UMHS strongly believes that any incremental BMT program in Michigan will have an adverse impact on cost, quality, and research potential, while at the same time providing marginal benefit. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak in front of this commission.
Thank you, Dr. Silver. Questions?
So, Dr. Silver, at our public hearing in October, at least one speaker argued that data from the Michigan Department of Community Health shows demand for BMT has increased. And I'd like you to comment on that, and also just in order to show my lack of understanding of this whole area in front of the whole audience, I thought there were some new, not adult, but children applications for BMT as a result of the newborn screening program. And some of I know these are very rare diseases. It's not a big area, but I'm just interested in any comments you can give us about whether demand is at a steady state going down.
So in the last 2 years, the increased transplants in Michigan are up by about 10%. And as I said, the major reason is the fact of we're transplanting more older patients. I'm not going to say elderly because I'm reaching that number. So these are older vital patients who we would not have considered 10 years ago. And I believe that that market was quickly, quickly saturated. I think that there may be areas in the state where maybe that market hasn't been, and I think the western part of the state and Spectrum having a C of N for BMT and having physicians in the western part of the state become more aware that older patients may be candidates will be part of Spectrum's market. And they argued that at the SAC meeting, and a C of N was awarded, and their program has barely ramped up. So I think there's even more of flexibility. As far as children, yes, there's more screening, and there are more transplants for things like the mucopolysaccharidoses, and these are rare, and I believe that the children's hospitals will be able to accommodate them, even though and maybe Dr. Uberti will comment on this. Some are so rare and have particular marrow non-marrow sensitivity to the chemotherapy that there are programs in the country, like University of Minnesota, that specialize in these. And actually, I have sent young adults I've sent young adults, to University of Minnesota because of and the Michigan Medicaid allowed that to Minnesota because of their specialty in this very rare disease. So that's really small numbers, and now we're talking about a national issue where national experts are, I think.
Thank you.
Other questions? I have one, Dr. Sarah. And we were chatting in the audience, it's like deja vu all over again. It seems like just yesterday we were dealing with the recommendations of the SAC. You were a member of that SAC.
Yes.
For the layperson, has anything changed between when you were going through those issues and now?
I think the only thing that's changed looking at more targeted therapies that may remove patients from transplant. And that's when I was really active in transplant, I would say, and you could say this about oncology in general. I mean, our goal is that we don't need to treat anyone with chemotherapy or bone marrow transplant, and that's the hope. I mean, these are poisons. And the fact that we treat chronic myelogenous leukemia and chronic phase with a pill that you take once a day, and I have patients now that are 10, 12 years out, and they're having children, and they haven't seen the inside of a hospital, I mean, is amazing. And hopefully we'll be talking about something that we won't be needed for in the future, but that's not quite yet.
Okay, thank you. Other questions? Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Dr. Uberti, I'm going to be sensitive to your time as well.
Well, first I'd like to thank the Commission for inviting me and giving me the opportunity to speak here. My name is Joe Uberti. I'm head of the bone marrow transplant program at the Karmanos Cancer Center in Detroit, and I was part of the last SAC that just finished very few months ago, it seems. And we, along with the University of Michigan, do oppose the change that the Department of Community Health has proposed. And basically, I'm going to reiterate much of what Sam has said, and I'm not going to do much to it because he did an excellent job of that, and actually what Dr. Punch had said also. For all those reasons, we do oppose the change in these standards. And as Dr. Silver said, it's just a few months ago, it seems, 18 months ago, we went over all these individual standards, and we did recommend to the CON to maintain the standards and review the BMT standards and put changes in place which we think were adequate to provide adequate care for the people in the state of Michigan. We did recommend a new program open up in Grand Rapids that was an underserved area because they did have already a previously up and running pediatric program, and we thought that was a reasonable place to put a program. I think from 2 years ago, nothing has really changed in transplant that would require us to relook at these issues. And if we do relook at them, I'm afraid we're going to be recapitulating the same arguments we had before, which we all agreed as a majority didn't warrant the changing of the BMT standards based on the CON. I believe that if we do change the standards, there will be a proliferation of more programs, actually. And I think ultimately that will hurt us. I think in southeastern Michigan alone, we have three programs up and running right now. If we do change the standards, I believe we'll probably have two more programs. So there will be five programs in an area that already has excess bed capacity. And that makes no sense in terms of what we heard about volume and the influence of volume on quality of care of transplant patients. So I'd be very careful and cognizant of the fact that programs will proliferate if we take away these standards. And there is a deficit of people who do transplant, and it'll only end up in cannibalizing the programs that are already in existence, decreasing the number of patients they're able to bring to transplant, decreasing the quality of care in each center because of the proliferation of other programs. I think another thing that was mentioned is that they wanted to deregulate autologous transplant. Now, autologous transplant is an easier type of transplant than we normally do. However, it can have a mortality as high as 10% within the first 100 days, which is even more difficult than solid organ transplant. So we think of this as an easier procedure. But if you look at the most recent CIBMTR landmark analysis, a mortality of 10% within the first 100 days tells you how difficult this procedure this can be. So I'm not sure deregulating an autologous transplant is a reasonable way to go. We had talked about this in the previous SAC committee, and we all agreed that wasn't appropriate to deregulate autologous transplant. So we would keep the regulations in both autologous and allogeneic transplant in the same context. The other issue that's come up, I think, a number of times, I just want to reiterate this, is what is the number of transplants that makes you an adequate transplant center? I think in transplant as well as in other organ transplants, the data support the more transplants you do, the better your outcome is. And I think we showed data at the last SAC that showed that, and even transplant centers as high as 70, that's when the bar seems to increase your ability to do transplants. So there is data looking at the number of transplants and quality of outcome in transplantation services. So again, just to reiterate what Dr. Silver says, and I've given you some more written testimony on this, we do oppose the changes that the Department of Community Health has recommended for the reasons we've just stated. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions for Dr. Uberti?
Commissioner Kashishian.
Joe, you mentioned that the autologous 10% mortality in the first 100 days?
Can have as high of a 10% mortality in the first 100 days.
How about allogeneic?
Allogeneic transplants usually have mortality as high as 30% within the first 100 days. So there's no doubt autologous transplants are easier than allogeneic transplants, but there still is a mortality associated with them. As Dr. Silver said, we do give very high dose, lethal doses of chemotherapy with the autologous transplant that can cause organ toxicity. The patients do have infectious complications. They do require hospitalizations at select nursing care, select physician care, select infectious disease care. So it's an important aspect to think about when we think about separating that service.
Commissioner Kashishian again. You mentioned that if we deregulated this service, you predicted two in Southeast Michigan. I'm not going to ask for names, but as you think about the state, how many would you perceive? I ask this question because, as we've discussed this in the years past, that there have been many cities that have much smaller population than Detroit that has four transplant units up. And as I reference this, I refer to the $8 million that the department has in their summary of the covered services and consideration. You know, how much are we talking about additional costs? And Medicare or Medicaid won't be paying more money for these services, Bob.
Yeah.
It's the employers of the state that will be paying more money for these services. So I was just curious, as you look in your crystal ball, how many more transplant units, given the information you have, what happens around the country, is it $8 million? Do you have a feel that's a good number, or you don't want to comment on that? That's not your area?
It's a hard thing to comment. If we look at our center alone, we spend $7 million on our transplant program in nursing salaries alone. That's just per year. So this is a tremendous undertaking. That's nothing about the infrastructure, the phoresis units. You know, not only that, the personnel you need to support the transplant patients, social workers, infectious disease specialists, pulmonary specialists, all those things are part of the program that you have to develop to do good transplants. Now, centers may say they have all that developed, but that's a particular expertise that you do develop around transplantation. We heard how hard it is to get a transplant lung doctor in the Grand Rapids area. It's hard to get transplant physicians in every area because there's not many of them. So not only is it a cost to develop the infrastructure of nursing, the physical plant, the physicians and everybody else involved in taking care of transplants adds to the cost. So it's difficult to say what the cost is other than it's expensive. So, and I think, you know, we've heard testimony from a number of places that do want to open up transplant programs. I'm not picking on any program in particular. It's just that we've heard that a couple of programs want to open up places in southeastern Michigan.
And I'm not asking, but this is a public comment more than, when I look upon the state, I think it's far more than two centers will be opening up bone marrow transplant units in southeast Michigan or even in the state. So,
I have a question, if I can, Commissioner Goldman. One of the questions that we have been asked to consider is the burden of regulation. You run a very active program. Do you feel that the state regulation is excessive?
No, we are regulated by a number of different organizations. Part of the state regulation, I think, goes along with our standard way we look at the regulations by other agencies. So it's minimal, I think, compared to everything else we have to report to.
And I guess the second part of that question is, do you believe, given the other regulations, that they adequately cover you? Is the state adding value by its regulation?
Well, I think it does because it and much of the regulations are similar to what have already been made as part of our mandate in terms of what to do. You know, the state is looking at a little bit different things. Number one, the state looks at access, which isn't really covered by other regulations. And I think that's an important thing. Do patients have access to the program? Do they have difficulty getting into the programs? Are there waiting lists? And that isn't really regulated by anything than a CON-type process. And I think we've shown that there isn't an access problem. There's really excess beds that are available. We also have a look at a little bit of cost, and that isn't regulated by things other than the state CON process. So we do want to maintain a good cost structure for bone marrow transplant. So they do complement each other, I think, the regulations that the state has on us, in addition to the regulations by other agencies.
Thank you.
Other questions for Dr. Uberti?
Thank you again.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Got about four more cards on this issue. Next, Patrick O'Donovan from Beaumont.
Good morning again. Patrick O'Donovan from Beaumont. I'm not going to repeat the comments, the general comments on transplant that we made before. I'm going to restrict this to bone marrow transplant.